And with our split show tonight, we're going to go live to Puerto Rico as we talk with Joshua Warren about demons within and other paranormal encounters in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM. It's Joshua P. Warren with another one of his paranormal moments. Josh, you still there, huh?
Yes, I am. We have a strong connection for the time being, straight from the Bermuda Triangle.
Well, you haven't been abducted or you haven't disappeared yet. That's good. What have you
well,
come across?
I haven't disappeared, but I must say I'm a little bit disappointed that I haven't been abducted yet. I've been trying really hard, but no luck thus far.
What's been going on in Puerto Rico, Josh?
Well, you know, I continue to almost get into trouble stumbling onto some of these bases that have all these weird signs saying that, you know, they will shoot you and whatnot if you get too close. And once again, no success there. I haven't been shot yet. Additionally, I continue to talk to an enormous amount of people who are having these incredible UFO experiences. I have seen some of these weird lights darting around in the sky at night, but I have not yet had my close encounter of the third kind or fourth kind with a UFO, but I definitely am sort of intrigued by and I must say kind of worried by some of the reports I keep getting about the mystical stuff here. You know, we've been talking about the cemetery near San Juan where bodies disappeared recently, and it seems that there is some type of a project taking place here on the island of Puerto Rico that is involving dark spirits, and nobody on the island seems to be able to tell exactly what's happening, but something of a very dark and evil nature may be afoot here, George.
All right, Josh, let's talk also about some things that you have investigated over the years. Demons within people, possessing people, taking over. I happen to suspect that it might be broader right now, much bigger than it's ever been before. Are you feeling that?
Well, yeah, you know, in fact, it goes right back to what I was just saying about these bodies that are disappearing from these cemeteries. I mean, apparently, it's not unique to Puerto Rico. There are a lot of people around planet Earth right now who are feeling very desperate, and they are sort of dabbling into these dark arts, and they are willing to take these incredible risks, giving up their lives, giving up their souls to the other side. And what we find is that, you know, for the most part, when people are happy, they are not concerned with selling their souls to the devil, so to speak. But when you have a time like we're living in right now, when it seems that the entire world is sort of scrambling for some order, and there is a great deal of disorder, people are doing some sort of terrible things. They're sacrificing creatures. They are definitely selling their souls. And what I find is that whether or not this makes any difference, there are people around the planet right now who believe that they can get ahead, they can become rich by taking whatever is within them and offering it up. And we sort of have this sense, if you will, that there is another side where beings can feed off of your bioenergy. And, you know, George, you and I have talked about this many times before. You can have whatever sort of religious perspective that you want to, but at the end of the day, if you let your guard down, there are beings out there, and my opinion, certainly based upon my research, that will feed upon your energy. And if you get into that old, not to be too cliche, you know, sex, drugs, and rock and roll kind of mindset, where you say, hey, bring it on, give me whatever you got, well, then guess what? You are going to let down that bioenergy guard, and you are going to allow these beings to feed upon you. And when you do that, you become depleted, you become negative, and you become vampiric and parasitic yourself.
Well, yes, you do. But how do you stop that?
Well, you know, it's funny because when it comes to this idea that there are beings out there that will feed upon us, and I'm always fond of telling folks when we have this conversation, there's probably not a single cow on planet Earth that knows that people eat cows. If there are things that are feeding upon our energy, we have to take sort of a common sense look at why that's happening. For one thing, you have to have a good, strong, healthy lifestyle. I mean, that includes not just the physical part of, you know, eating healthy and exercising and all the stuff that, you know, you learn about in elementary school, but also the idea of spiritual health, the idea of staying positive. And that's the big, big problem right now, because we live in this day and age when we have become so browbeaten by technology and advertising that humans are sort of in a daze right now. I mean, you know, when you walk into a shopping mall, you're kind of like a rat walking into a scientific experiment. There are psychologists there that have been trained to determine whether you are going to look left or right or up or down, what colors are going to grab your attention. They determine how to orient the aisles to see what will make you stay the longest. And what they are basically doing is sort of using decades of scientific experimentation to try to control the way that you behave. And the problem becomes that when you live your life every single day in the midst of that, and you don't get out in Mother Nature, you don't get away from it, you are so distracted that you start to lose a sense of who you are and what direction you're supposed to be going. And therefore, you sort of weaken yourself over time. You actually sort of give up. People become exhausted. Who has a break anymore? I mean, that's one of the reasons that I like to go to the islands in the Caribbean. I like to get away. I like to, you know, throw the cell phone into the ocean and you know, try to take some time to myself. It's because we're becoming too worn out.
Well, that's true. But these people who are, I call them the demons within again, I'm not so sure they can stop what's happening to themselves, Josh.
Well, you know, you make a good point, George, because people have very little direction anymore. And in fact, we are having a sort of a fortuitous conversation here, because I just today released this audio book called The Oblivious Gods. And people look at me and they say, why on earth are you writing about a subject that has to do with God? And it really has to do with the fact that for years and years, I have been investigating the paranormal. I've been looking at this idea of ghosts and the afterlife and demons and angels. And people come to me from time to time and they say, okay, this photograph is fascinating, that experiment is wonderful, but really, what's going to happen? You know, what have you learned? And they start asking me sort of what these profound implications may be of the research. And I finally sat down and I put these thoughts together. And again, this is a free audio book, The Oblivious Gods. I just released it today at theobliviousgods.com. And basically, what I determined from all these years of research is that when you look at the data, when you look at all this information about the other side, about the dark beings, about the beings of light, about what the meaning of life is, et cetera, et cetera, What you find is that ultimately, again and again, no matter what religion you adhere to, what philosophy you adhere to, the point is we are here on this planet to learn to become creators ourselves. Whatever you believe, obviously, something manifested in your existence. And whatever that thing is inside of you. And, I mean, it's easy to say, well, it was a god. You can call it what you will. I say that this was some kind of a creative force that somehow manifested your existence, and you have that creative force inside of you, and you have to learn how to use that creative force. And if you learn to use that creative force, well, then you can create whatever scenario that you want. Unfortunately, if you don't use it, you will be fed upon. That is to say that you have all this energy sitting there, and you can channel this and focus it into whatever you want to. And hopefully you'll focus it into something positive. But if you do not focus it into something positive, you're just a sitting duck. And these sort of negative entities and energies will come there and feed upon you as parasites. And that's what we consider demons. And so the point here is to try to educate people and give them the confidence to understand that they themselves are able to take their creative energy and produce something positive with it. But on the other hand, you're up against all of these distracting forces. And that's where focus comes into play.
Well, these demons can literally eat you alive, can't they?
Well, apparently, I mean, you know, when I sit down and eat a sandwich, I'm sticking food in my mouth and chewing it up and swallowing it. And that's how that I'm gaining the energy. And yet that is a very crude way of gaining energy. I have talked to so many people, and I've seen so much evidence to indicate that when these beings that are a little bit more advanced, maybe older, ancient compared to us, are around, they're not in a position where they need to chew up food, okay? They're able to take it directly. They're able to absorb it. They're able to suck it directly out of you. And if you don't believe that these entities exist, well, then it makes it even easier for them to occupy your space. On the other hand, when you do the research and you see the photographs and you do the experiments and you talk to people for years and years, you realize that they are there, and they are able to directly take this energy from you. And it's odd because people say, okay, well, I did something bad because a demon made me do it. But actually, the demon does not make you do it. When you have a system that is in a weakened, deteriorated state, you just don't care anymore. You lose your sense of judgment. You become wary and disoriented, and therefore you behave badly. And if anything, there is this sort of natural instinct that kicks in that makes you want to do bad things and take energy from other people because you have this energy deficit yourself. And so it's not this matter of the demon controlling your behavior and your mindset and making you do something in particular. It's kind of like, you know, they say if people become ravenously hungry or people become thirsty, oh, you can't trust them anymore. You know, for one thing, they're not going to think logically. Secondly, biology is going to kick in, their instincts going to kick in, and they'll do whatever they can to get food and water. And it's the same thing. When your energy is depleted, your judgment's off, and you're behaving in a negative manner, and that's what happens when you are in a situation where these dark entities are sort of zapping that part of your essential bioenergy.
These demons, what do they want? Energy? Your soul? What are they after?
Well, you know, ultimately, from everything I've been able to tell, it's just the energy. They just want to feed upon you. Now, you know, what is the soul? You know, that's a very good question. What is the soul? And in this free audio book, The Oblivious God, that I mentioned, I talk a little bit about what the soul is. And ultimately, we are talking about the idea that you have this part of you which is self-aware, as opposed to, say, animals, for example. You can look into a mirror, and when you look into that mirror, you understand fully and entirely what is staring back at you. Most animals do not have that ability. Granted, dolphins and some apes are gaining some ground here, but nothing like humans. When you reach this point of self-awareness, where you are able to look and see something inside that gives you the ability to control the energy in you, I believe this is when you become in contact with your soul. Once you are in contact with your soul, then you have the ability to control your soul and to control that energy on a new level. And prior to that, you know, you're just another cow in the herd. Yeah. But once you have that ability, you now, of course, have the choice to determine how your bioenergy is used. Now, if you don't use that bioenergy wisely, this soul, if you will, as it's beginning to evolve and develop, then these entities will come around just like mosquitoes, and they will, you know, suck the soul right out of you. But what we want to do is make it past this phase so that we progress past the apes and the dolphins and whatnot, and we get to the point where we are in complete control of ourselves and our destinies. And when we do that, we don't have to worry so much about how our bioenergy is going to be affected by these entities, because they will stay away, because we have a barrier up when we learn to control the power around the soul or the bioenergy.
Hey, like the movie Ghost, you know, the movie Ghost, where those demons kind of came out of the sewers and things like that and grabbed people and pulled them in, the evil people. Does it happen that way?
No, it doesn't really happen that way. I mean, you know, I've heard some great stories, some very creepy stories. And, you know, there are always people who will have a tale that might extenuate. I mean, for example, recently a guy emailed me and he said that he went to bed one night when he was a teenager, and he dreamed that a demon was attacking him in the middle of the night. And he woke up screaming, and his mother came running into the room, and he told her what had happened, and she said, "Oh, it was just a bad dream." And then before he went back to bed, he pulled up his shirt, and there were big red scratch marks all over his belly.
It was not a dream, was it, Josh?
Well, in that particular case, you know, he believed that this thing had materialized, that it had manifested, and it was clawing him up. And if that's the case, then, you know, maybe there are some of these things that will attack us. But we have no way of knowing whether or not those stories are true or if they're just good, creepy tales. But I do know, however, that based upon all the research I've done, there's no reason to believe that life must exist exclusively on this level that is physical to you and me. There's plenty of reason to believe that life can exist in these other realms that we consider spiritual from our point of view, and unfortunately that does include some of these demonic characters.
We're coming back with more with Joshua P. Warren as we talk about the demons within, and then in our final hour here on Coast to Coast AM, we'll take phone calls with him. Don't go away. Hey, I'm going to my niece's wedding. She's, of course, a daughter of my sister who's been battling brain cancer. Tomorrow in Detroit, John B. Wells is going to fill in for me. That'll be on Friday. And then on Saturday, I will be in Cleveland. Come on out and see me at the Journey event. Just go to our website, click hosts, and all the information pops up under my calendar. First major event for me in Cleveland since I've been doing this for more than 10 years. So I'm looking forward to this. We will be back in a moment. More with Joshua P. Warren. And next hour, we'll take your demonic phone calls with him on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back to Coast, Joshua Warren with us. Josh, have you ever come across anybody that you thought was so demonic you wanted to even just get away from them?
Well, I did investigate a property once in South Carolina that had an enormous amount of activity that one would consider demonic. I mean, I'm talking about fires that would spontaneously start and animals that would drop dead of sickness. And I went there to investigate with a lady. Well, there was a group of us, but it included a lady who was 42 years old. She was in perfect health. She was a self-made millionaire. And we were warned before we went to this property that there was demonic activity there. And the night we investigated, she called a member of my research team and said, I have been to a lot of haunted places, and I've never been afraid before, but there is something in my house tonight that is scaring me to death. It's a big, dark form, and I don't know what to do with it. And the person that she called talked to her and tried to calm her down and told her, you know, it's going to be okay. Surround yourself with white light, et cetera. And the next day, she was dead.
Dead?
And yeah, dead. And the coroner's report, from what I could tell, and obviously it always becomes very sensitive when you have a death involved, but my understanding is that the coroner's report said that there had been some type of violent action, but they were not able to determine that anybody else was there. And, you know, that's something that I myself personally experienced. Now, does that mean a demon killed her? Or does that mean that she simply had some weakness that this energy was able to weave its way into? I honestly don't know. But there are certain scenarios since then that I myself, you know, will not even get involved with, that, you know, I have to draw certain lines on my own. And it has to do with those types of situations when there are scenarios where, you know, people are just seeing a ghost or whatever, and then there are scenarios where people are saying, I'm not just seeing a ghost, we're having a lot of other negative, cursed stuff happened to us at the same time. And sometimes you just don't want to take that step. You know, I'm quite adventurous, but on the other hand, I do have a healthy respect for the fact that sometimes these dark energies can take everything from you. And when they do that, you die.
Josh, I want to talk about curses for a moment. Or strange events. Remember the guy they found, the bronze man that they found in ice? I have done a little homework on this, and apparently this thousands and thousands of year old guy, people who are associated with that excavation have died. Now, how does that happen?
Well, you know, I don't know all the specifics regarding that particular case, but when it comes to these scenarios, when, especially some ancient individual, for example, like a mummy or something like that.
Right, or the sarcophagus of the tomb of King Tut or something.
Exactly. You know, when they are at the center of some type of a curse, we must think for a second about the energy that people who lived thousands of years ago surrounded themselves with. In fact, once again, this ties nicely into some of the things that I wrote about in my my free audiobook at theobliviousgods.com. I talked a lot about the energy that we surround ourselves with and how that thousands of years ago, it was much, much easier for people to create an energy barrier around themselves because they didn't know what was supposed to exist and not exist. That is to say, you know, we live in a world right now where, well, we think we know everything. You know, you can jump on your computer and you can see a satellite view of any spot you want on planet Earth. In many cases, you can get a street view. You certainly know the Earth is round. I mean, heck, we're talking about sending people to Mars right now. And because of that, we are sort of less imaginative in certain ways about the mystical energies of life. Thousands of years ago, people just didn't know. They didn't know if the Earth was round or flat. It was supposed to be impossible for rocks to fall from the sky. So even, you know, meteors were considered mystical. And because people thousands of years ago did not understand as much as we do, ironically, their ignorance of science increased their faith. And when their faith and belief was increased, their minds were much more powerful. And I believe that's one of the reasons that you see all of these amazing ancient constructions, like the pyramids and whatnot. I mean, it's amazing what a great deal of faith and a bunch of slaves can get done for you. And so those people were able to truly believe that not only could they channel this enormous spiritual energy, but in some cases they believed that they could become deities themselves. And of course, that's where you get pharaohs and people like that. And so I believe that the irony is all of us actually do possess the creative spirit. The title, The Oblivious Gods, refers to humans, that we all have this creative potential within us, but that most people have forgotten it now. But thousands of years ago, they were much more aware of this. And so people considered their bodies and their property and their aura to be much more sacred, and they spent time taking a great deal of effort and sort of channeling and focusing it into this field around them. And therefore, when you find one of these ancient bodies, you are, from the perspective of that ancient person, sort of violating that very powerful spiritual energy field. And when you do that, well, then, of course, the consequences come, because we don't have the ability to sort of fend off or even take serious that level of energy. And I believe that's where a lot of these curses kick in. That's why the ancient peoples were so profound in many ways, and it was partially based upon their ignorance, that because they didn't know the world like we do, that gave them a much more powerful mind and belief system to channel into this energy field that we sometimes sort of wander into and are not sure how to deal with.
Did you ever find yourself, Josh, in a situation where you were yourself so frightened, so scared, you didn't know what to do?
Well, spiritually speaking, in terms of my paranormal investigations, I've always been pretty wise about choosing what areas I should step into. And the funny thing is, on those occasions when I have been frightened, it's only been because of my mere human instinct. For example, You know, you've heard me talk about this night that I spent alone at a plantation in Louisiana, and I knew I was the only person on the property, and yet something was pounding on the walls of my room, and I turned on my video camera, and I was able to tell whatever was pounding on the walls interact with me.
You know, that baffled you, didn't it? I remember that. That baffled the heck out of you, didn't it?
Well, yeah, it did, because you must understand that when I started this kind of research, I was not a believer of any kind. I was not a person of any faith. I mean, I was just looking as a curiosity seeker. And basically, I studied ghosts for 6 years before I ever saw anything to convince me that ghosts were even real. And the first thing that happened to me after 6 years was, well, I saw a ghost. You know, I was in a house, and I went up into the attic, and here was this big bluish-gray misty form swirling there. I saw it. I photographed it. I even touched it before it disappeared. But using my analytical mind, I said to myself, well, this is a big misty form, but that doesn't mean that this is some kind of a conscious entity. I mean, maybe this could be an atmospheric phenomenon. Maybe this could be something that is, a product of the physical variables in the attic, et cetera, et cetera. Then, after that, I went to a house and I saw objects fly off the walls. And again, this was creepy stuff. My team and I were able to videotape it. But I said to myself, okay, this qualifies as poltergeist activity, but maybe this could be the product of something other than the spirit of a dead person. You know, we go back once more to, could this be some geomagnetic energy that's being released, or could this be the product of alternative weather phenomenon? I mean, you go down the checklist. It wasn't until I was in that plantation where things changed for me. I mean, if you wanted to draw a line through the middle of my life, there was my life before this and my life after this. Before that night, everything that I had personally witnessed that had to do with the ghostly was something that could potentially be explained as some kind of an inanimate phenomenon. After that night, however, I realized that no, there are interactive, conscious, disembodied intelligences out there that are aware, and the thing that was interacting with me that night, I can't tell you for certain that it was the spirit of a dead person, but I know it was a spirit. I know that this thing was with me in the room, and the great thing is that, again, you know, I was rolling videotape on this. I mean, if you go to YouTube, you can search for my name and Alone in America's Most Haunted Bedroom, and you can see some of this footage. And as a matter of fact, while you're on YouTube, you can also search for The Oblivious Gods for my audiobook. But when you see this, you will see that I'm asking this thing to knock on the walls, and it will do it on command. And that's when I sort of shifted directions, and I realized that, I'm doing more here than documenting ghostly phenomena. I am documenting communication with another realm of existence, with another dimension. And from there, I started breaking it down and looking more and more into what is negative, what is positive. And that's when my mind opened and I realized that there are these things you can call demons that will take some energy from you. And there are these things called angels. And these things called angels for whatever reason, will show up in times of crisis in many cases and protect you. And it's weird because here we live in the year 2013. We know all this. We know these stories. These go back thousands of years. But it takes some kind of personal experience to believe it. And what I found is that all we are doing in this day and age is sort of reconfirming what our ancestors have been trying to tell us with whatever methods that they had at their disposal for thousands of years.
Well, you're one of those great investigators, Josh. You've seen it. You've touched it. You've been a part of it for so many years. And as we have both noticed, something's happening these days. I mean, I don't know if the gates of hell have opened up or what, but I mean, something weird is happening.
Well, you're absolutely right. I think that there are these certain phases in human history that we all have to sort of collectively identify. I mean, if you open up a history book, you'll see these different ages that are identified, you know, the Stone Age, the Bronze Age, the Renaissance, you know, et cetera, the Industrial Age. Well, these are periods that are only defined by human experience. And yet, the funny thing is, we have this almost ridiculous hang-up where we feel somewhere deep inside of us that, well, there is this scientific world that tells us what is true, and then there is this human experience world which you can't trust. And that's absurd, because when I take out a meter and I'm walking around some haunted place, they say, what's the meter getting, you know? And they want to know if they can trust in the readings of the meter. But what I realize is that this meter was made by a human being, and this meter was calibrated by a human being, and a human being is using this meter, and a human being is interpreting this meter. You cannot remove the human being from science. It's impossible. Ultimately, all we have is our collective human experience. And so when we look back and we see these periods of time when chapters sort of roll over into new chapters, it may not seem apparent to most people at the time what's happening, but in retrospect, it seems clear. I believe, obviously, we are living through the rollover of a new chapter. I mean, you know, when I was in high school, we didn't have the internet. And now, the internet is such an integral part of the lives of students when they are learning the basics of life. I mean, this is an unimaginably grand achievement, the ability to jump on this, you know, computer and to learn whatever you want to. You can call it the information age, or who knows what historians will apply to this. But we are seeing one of these boundaries in the transition of human history. And I feel that this is a critical time because we're about to see whether or not, and this is an age-old question, whether or not human nature is actually good or evil. Because the internet and the information age gives us the ability to choose. I hope, like we all do, I hope we all do, that human nature is good. But if it is not, well, we're about to find out.
Well, we're going to find out. Josh, hold on. We're going to hit the break, come back, chat more, and take phone calls with you on Demons and Curses next on Coast to Coast AM.